It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 433. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. Send me a friend request for Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. I got a jam-packed show for tonight. Lots and lots of emails that I want to get caught up on. Responses to questions that I've asked over the last couple shows. Great questions and tips and links. So this show is dedicated to getting caught up on email. A quick announcement, since Thanksgiving's next week, I will not be broadcasting on Thursday night, and I've decided I'm going to do the show on Tuesday, November 20th. So Tuesday, November 20th, I'll be recording live at 8 p.m. Eastern time, and then hope to get it edited either late Tuesday night or Wednesday and get that out. So this way, everybody have a great Thanksgiving and spend time with the family. And I know I want to, in preparation for Thanksgiving, helping my wife and everybody on Wednesday night. So that's important. We'll get the show out of the way. Now, as for Tech Vets, I don't know if we're going to be able to squeeze a show in Monday night or not. Carrie and I really haven't talked about it with the Thanksgiving holiday. With that, tonight, right before the show, I was logged in using Instant House Call to completely redo a computer from a client that's really like a 45-minute drive, and I didn't have to get in the car and do it because their system, their hard drive crashed. Dell came out today, put a new hard drive in, but now I have to set up everything. I got to install Office. I got to install all the custom software, and I'm using Instant House Call. This month, Instant House Call, they are all in for Movember. Remember, Movember is for the month of November for men's health awareness. And right now, they're putting their money where their mo is. And they have a couple ways for you to participate and win some great software, Instant House Call. So if you don't want to grow a mo, then listeners can donate $25 or more to Men's Health Research and the Movember campaign, and you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free copy of Instant House Call. And if you listened last week and you were able to get in and participate and actually enter their contest for growing your own mo, you have a chance to win. Supporting this whole initiative for men's health awareness, it's great to have a sponsor that cares that much about this and asked me to dedicate their ads for November to this campaign. So get behind us all here and support that and do your best. Last night, I had the privilege of being a guest on the BAMcast. Give a listen.
Listeners of the Mike Tech Show, this is Lisa, the owner of Call That Girl and the host of BAMcast.biz. Don't forget to check out our show this week when we interview Mike from the Mike Tech Show on business and marketing ideas. And he has a lot of value this week to give you folks, and you will learn a lot, I promise you. So check us out, www.BAMcast.biz, and you will see Mike at the top with his picture and all of the show notes. See you then.
And that is posted up already. So thank you, Lisa, for sending me the promo. I had a great time as Lisa's guest last night. And they do not record that live yet, but don't worry, I was pushing them towards that. I had a great time talking about it, and I think it was a show that you will learn something about the marketing of your business, and not just tech. So, and that's one of the purposes of that podcast. It's not just all tech. I mean, you can't help but tech will creep in there, but it's about the ability for you to get off the ground and ideas to help you market your business and get your business to grow. And listen to some ideas and some things that's going to spark something that's going to be like, wow, I never thought of that, and help you with your business. Now, last night, Lisa and I were talking, and she sent me a copy of her ebook that's called Call That Girl's Guide to Computer Remote Support. I read that last night. I learned a lot, and I liked it so much that Lisa and I talked today, and she's sponsoring the Mike Tech Show. In the show notes, there will be a link for you to be able to purchase the Guide to Computer Remote Support. Now, it's not just technical information about the actual software of connecting remotely. It's a way to add to your business already. If you are not taking advantage of remote support and the ability to earn money by helping people remotely, you hear me talk about it all the time. It's how I manage my clients. Lisa puts in tips and stories to back up those tips of real life in the trenches stories of what she would go through, mentioning a Sunday morning when a client called in with such and such a problem and how she solved it. How do you go about repairing the blue screen of death remotely? Someone could be thousands of miles away and you can generate money by doing this and by following some simple steps. And not only that, but learning about some of the issues and some of the things that happen that will come in for remote support and be able to take advantage of that and be able to turn that into making money and solve those problems. So even if you don't do this all remotely, I thought this was a great guide for problem solving. So that's Call That Girl's Guide to Computer Remote Support. It's a great book. It's an easy read, and you will learn something. And I'm going to have the link in the show notes, and I am proud to have Lisa and this ebook as a sponsor of the Mike Tech Show podcast. So last week, I asked what is the best way to sync files with a Mac and a network share. This is from Mark. He says, it doesn't get much easier than this. This is from Bananica.com, geek stuff. Synchronize two folders on a Mac with Automator and rsync. And I have been using Automator a lot lately, and I am amazed at how easy it is to set up workflow. I love it. And this is from Mark, who is me, Claudius, in the chat. Thank you, Mark, for that. And I am going to look into this. This is from Gordon. Hi, Mike. On the last podcast, you asked for a couple ideas. For the Mac sync issue, I would suggest rsync. And he gives me a link for a write-up. And I also asked about securing files on a flash drive. Very easy. And a lot of you recommended 7-Zip. 7-Zip, yes, I know, and I love the program. It's a free open source compression with a password feature. There is a write-up showing how to make it self-extracting. Now, I've never done that. A self-extracting file that is password protected. So I'm going to look into that as probably our first option of protecting the files. So let's see how that goes, because after they unzip it, then they're not protected anymore. So I'm not sure about that one yet. Here's for Mac Sync, and this is from Troy, an easy real-time sync. I use it to sync my Thinking Rock software between my MacBook Pro and Windows 8 system. Also, syncing a folder to my free NAS from the Mac and vice versa. Also works with phones, etc. I haven't used it in this capacity, but based off what I am using it for, I am sure it would be fine. I have a link for this, that program, and there's also one more. This one is a lot more complicated, but does everything under the sun, and it's also cross-platform, and that's Syncovery. Keep up the good work, and thanks for the show. This is great. You guys really came through with answering my call for the encryption, for the simple encryption for the USB drive, and also for the syncing. Here's another one from Steve, and this program is Stegnos Safe. I'll have a link to that. Encrypting a 2 gig USB stick. This is from Colin. You said TrueCrypt was not the answer, but I was thinking along the lines of the portable version with an auto run file to launch it. I have not done this, but I thought it might be possible. I quickly Googled and found this, and he has a link to describe this process. It might not be the exact solution you need, but I'm sure a genius like you can make it work so that as soon as the client's employees insert the USB device, the auto run file can run TrueCrypt Portable, assign a drive letter, and simply request the password from the user. Here's the thing. Unless it's that U3-based USB stick, which this will not be, you cannot get a USB stick to auto run unless it's got that U3 partition where it fakes the system out to think it's a CD drive, and then it can auto run. So it looks like there's going to be some type of instruction, and that's okay, where maybe even we have a batch file that they just plug it in, they go to the root directory and type go, and it'll just prompt them for a password and they get access to their files. So I can automate that. If I can do it with TrueCrypt, then that's going to be my first answer. Here's another one. Why not use something like a self-extracting zip? And this is 7-zip, and this is from Jason. You can give the flash drive to a customer and use the autorun.ini file on the flash drive to run the .exe file you created. As soon as they insert the drive, it will run the self-extracting file and ask for a password to finish the decrypt. Actually, and I just got done saying that cannot work on a standard USB, okay? Assuming autorun isn't disabled on the computers they are inserting it in. If it is, you can just double-click the .exe file on the drive itself. Also, with 7-zip, you can set a default extract path with the config option so that you could have the files unzipped to a folder on the desktop by default or wherever you want them. You can't get much simpler than this. Hope this helps. So that is great. And he even has a demo here with a YouTube link. A couple links here from Simon. And this is a U3-based solution for USB. Thank you. Udo from Germany. Some answers to your questions on the show. One, to encrypt a USB stick, you could just put the files in a password-protected zip file. So I'm getting a lot of that for the options. And then the Mac file sync utility, right now he has GR Sync, and he used it, and it does the job. Regards from Northern Germany, and thanks for your great show. Your show makes my ride to work so entertaining and makes me learn something every time. Udo, thank you very, very much. We have a lot of great links that I will get into the show notes. And I thank you for jumping in and recommending this and all your solutions. And I will cull through all of this and make it work. Certainly the TrueCrypt and automating that and the 7-zip. I'm going to take a look at that. There's also some other programs that came out of the post show of last week that I'm going to explore. Let's see if I'll let you know what we select for my client. So thank you so much for responding. And certainly the one that I like the most or use, you'll be getting an email from me for your address. So I will send you a Mike Tech Show hat and shirt. This is email I've been hanging on to for a couple weeks. And I want to cover this because it actually might be the solution that one of my clients, they're going to use for their voice over IP system that they're purchasing. And here is an email from Jason. It's about the 8x8 solution. I would like to suggest 8x8, formerly Packet 8. And this is www.8x8.com. Bamcast.com. I have personally used the phone system for my company for 3 years now. I have had maybe two problems along the way, mostly my fault, and they are quick to resolve the issues. Customer service is top notch. It is a hosted system, so all you have on site are the phones. They have great voice quality as well, as long as you set up QoS in the router for each phone. Some of the features are Polycom HD voice on the Polycom phones, best sounding voice I have heard on a phone call. They also offer Cisco phones. All the phones have a pass-through port, so if you only have one network jack, you can plug the phone into it and your PC into the phone. Now, I always recommend with a voice over IP system having two independent network jacks for performance. It's just something that I believe in that's going to increase the quality and the performance of the phone call, and I've implemented solutions where when I've separated it, no problems. Android and iPhone app to make and receive calls just as if you are in the building. I love this feature since I'm always on the go and never at the shop. I don't give my cell phone number to my customers, so if I need to call them back, I use this app and their caller ID shows my business phone number. Works great on the 4G LTE on Verizon as well. I used it on 3G before the 4G was in our area, and it would work great on it as well as long as you were sitting still. If you have 4G LTE and drive down the road, it works good on the move. Maybe a break in the voice here and there, but it works best sitting still and making the call. Of course, they have the normal auto attendant, push one for this and so on, call forwarding, find me, follow me, ring groups, three-way calling, call transfer, dial extension numbers, paging on the phones, and add-on for in-building paging like a warehouse speaker. You can also have it automatically ring another phone, such as a cell phone, if the internet is down. The call transfer feature can transfer callers to non-8x8 numbers as well, such as a cell phone, and the caller never has to know you were transferred to someone outside the building, and this way, they don't get your cell number. You also get the virtual office online, basically a soft phone that is web-based. So if you have a headset or even just a microphone, then you can make and receive calls on your PC. Is this a great solution? The average price is around $24 per month. They will discount this if there are a lot of phones. So basically, with taxes and everything, I pay around $32 per month. This will be different for each state since state taxes are different. Both of these include features and unlimited calling to the whole USA and Canada and something like 14 other countries as well. I call Canada a lot since I maintain a Canadian company locally to have to collaborate with the main IT staff in Canada as well. One other thing I like is they are a big company and they have been around a while and will be around a while. Not so sure about some of the other VoIP sellers out there. Something to think about when selling these to a client. Then there is the money-making side of selling the systems. I basically make $100 for every phone my customer buys through the referral program. I let them sign up and buy the equipment through Packet 8, but I have a sales rep that I deal with on closing the deal, and that way I get the credit for the referrals. I just installed 11 phones at a company, and I get a check 4 weeks later for $1,100. And I make money on the labor to install, set up the auto intended extensions, QoS in the router, and etc. So it can be very profitable. If you decide to sell their systems, let me know, and I'll give the rep's contact info that I deal with. He will also recommend you if he sells a system in your area for the installs as well. I may actually pursue this because it'd be nice to have a great phone system that's in the cloud, that's reliable, that I can recommend to a client, stand behind, be happy to support it, be happy to recommend it. If I make some money with it, that's nice. And I want to see my clients have that umbilical cord to the traditional PBX to be able to cut that cord and get them into a phone system in the cloud so they're not tied to the office when there is a problem, when they can't get into the office. They don't have to worry about forwarding the number. There's 10 feet of snow out on the ground or something. All the hurricane that passed through a couple weeks ago in my area, that's caused lots of questions on business continuity. And having a phone system based in the cloud that's reliable, boy, that's great. Let me know if you have feedback on this 8x8 solution. I know I'm going to be testing it out, working with it, and I'll report back again on it. But it's nice to have a solution that we can recommend as techs that you're recommending because you're dealing with it and you got several clients on it. And this came highly recommended also from one of my trusted friends, Winston Wolf. He has several clients on 8x8, and when he first heard me mention this on my podcast, he called me up on my cell phone. And he says, "Mike, you got to try this." You know, so it was great. And Jason, thank you for taking the time to write detailed feedback like this. Thank you. This is from Jeff. And while we're talking about business continuity, and hi, Mike, listen to the show regularly and love it. I look forward to downloading the podcast after each show. I listened to your latest show about your experience during and after Hurricane Sandy and not having any power for 36 hours. Not a fun time, I can imagine. Hope life is getting back to normal and you and your family. And it is getting back to normal. A few days ago, I saw an interesting product called the Wee Bike. And this is at weewatt.be. Which may be of interest to some of your listeners when and if power ever goes out. I just returned from Brussels, Belgium, and was waiting at the airport when I saw several people sitting on stationary bikes pedaling away while at the same time they were working on laptops, which were resting on small desks attached to the bikes. After a closer look, I saw that the laptops were plugged in and getting charged, but only charged if and when the person pedaled. In other words, the person's expended energy to pedal the bike is used to recharge the laptop. It also works with cell phones, an innovative product to say the least. Save energy, get some exercise, and always have an energy source to recharge your device in case of a power outage. I'm going to inquire with the Wee Bike company and ask for a quote. Here is a short clip on YouTube showing how it works. And this is Jeff from Sweden. Jeff, thank you. And I'll put those links into the show notes. What an interesting idea. This is from Matt. Using a tablet in your computer business. I wanted to make a comment in regards to the listener who asked about a client using a tablet to take client notes and get signatures in show 431. I recently interviewed a computer business owner named Jesse who has converted his company business to be entirely paperless. He no longer uses any physical paperwork. He did it all himself using a mix of custom and off-the-shelf tools. He has a Toshiba Thrive 10-inch Android tablet along with an app called Sign Now. The app is available for iOS as well as Android to gather customer signatures while on site. He uses Square to accept payments on the tablet as well. He simply opens up a copy of the work order via Dropbox and has the client sign it using the Sign Now app. He then emails a copy to the customer. It's simple and seems pretty easy to set up. You can read more about this and how he made other parts of his computer business paperless in a full interview here. Hope this can be of some help to your listeners. I'm looking forward to taking time and looking at this, because as much as I want to go paperless, I am still tied to my paper tablet and pen when I'm taking notes, just because I don't have anything comfortable enough yet that I like, whether it be on my iPad, my notebooks. I don't have anything comfortable yet to be totally paperless. So I know we want to get there, and let's see if this is a step in that direction. So thank you for sharing that. This is from Mike, who's in the chat, P. Malin. Thought this was interesting. Google Tuesday released a Chrome browser update with a video decoding enhancement that the company claims will help users save battery life. This feature, available for Chrome on Windows, cuts power consumption by executing video decoding on graphics processing units instead of a computer's CPUs. Google said in a blog post, this is because dedicated graphics chips require much less power than computer CPUs, resulting in a 25% increase in battery life in Google tests. Now Chrome users on Windows will experience longer battery life so they don't get cut off while watching their favorite YouTube video on repeat, wrote Amy Fishman, a Google software engineer. Best to you and your family. Mike, thank you very, very much. I appreciate that. I guess another push towards Google Chrome. I have not weaned myself off Firefox. I need to do that. It's funny. It's like every other version. I yell and scream at Firefox on one update because I see multiple crashes. Then they seem to have an update that everything's smooth and I have no problems. I don't hear the complaints coming from Google Chrome. It's just something I got to get used to, I guess. A lot of my clients have moved to Chrome. There's many systems that I'm sitting at the first time. There's that Chrome icon. Now, I always ask, are you using Chrome? And some people say, no, I'm still using Internet Explorer. I don't know how that got there. So Chrome, I know, is being pushed down. And let's hope they don't get like the Ask toolbar. But I do know on a lot of different free programs that automatically install Chrome. Yes, it's out there. Is everybody using it? I don't know. I know some people are. I've been slow to adapt. I'm going to have to, I guess, get on the Chrome bandwagon. I haven't jumped on yet. This is from Dwayne, an article that I went through. If you remember, voicemail of a listener that in a corporate setting with Active Directory had a major problem with OpenDNS. Here is a link to a support article. How do I use OpenDNS and manage internal resources and virtual private networks? So Dwayne, I want to thank you for taking the time. And I went through this. And if you follow these instructions, this could solve the problem with having VPNs on a corporate network and still be able to use OpenDNS. So it seems like OpenDNS has an answer. This is one of the great reasons for why I do this show. Having talk about the problem and then have someone say, look, this is how you need to tweak the product or tweak your settings on your network to get that to work. Great article. This is from Larry, who purchased the HP ProCurve Switch on my recommendations from some past shows. I was trying to get some info on the HP Switch because I bought the 1810G 24 port, which, by the way, not only do I have in my office, I have that switch, that very switch, in 10 different clients' locations. It's an incredible switch, but it's not a router. I was planning on using it as a router. Let's stop right there. Larry, I've never used the word router. I never implied that it was a router. A router is very different than a switch. This is not a router, should not be used as a router, should not even be mistaken as a router. It is a switch. And I'm going to have links to the basic functional definition of what a router is and what a switch. I was planning on using it as a router, but it does not give any options other than using DHCP checkbox. Yes, it's a switch that happens to have some DHCP capability. Nothing to set up ranges of IPs or DNS setup. Could you elaborate on your switch on one of your shows for exactly what you use it for? Because actually, this was a waste of money as far as I'm concerned. I could have bought a cheapo switch to route MAC addresses. I really don't see any benefit to the cost of this switch other than setting up a VPN. I wouldn't use it for a VPN. I'm going to tell you what you can use it for. Heck, my router can set up a VPN. Why do I need the switch? It may sound like I'm pissed, but I'm not. I would just like to hear your thoughts on the matter. If you want to set up virtual networks, VLANs, you can take any one of those ports and you can group them together in a VLAN and isolate the traffic. This is an advanced managed switch. For a typical home user, no. If you want to explore learning, because this is something you would put in a business setting, which is a nice back-end switch for a small business, absolutely. It can switch traffic very, very fast. It has port mirroring capability. What that gives you, the ability that if you're troubleshooting traffic, let's say from a server or a network, you don't have to disconnect it. I could basically set up Wireshark on a port, have that port mirror another port on the switch, and I can basically take a look and capture the traffic that's happening on another port on the switch. These are advanced networking technologies that you could use in a business. The typical home user will have no use for this switch. And if you bought this for your home as a router, no, you got to send it back, because it's not a router. It never will be a router. I know I never implied that it could be used as a router. A router will do network address translation and route traffic from one network to another. It's a bridge to bridge multiple different subnets and networks, and it routes traffic between networks. This switch has super performance on switching traffic between the ports. If I want to do streaming from a server to different workstations, this is the ultimate switch for letting that heavy traffic go from one port to another. Having an advanced switch just from a performance standpoint, it's a great selection. If you don't need some of these advanced capabilities, then it's just not the proper device for you. I do not recommend this for any home unless you are a super geek or technician or consultant that you would be recommending this switch for businesses. And I recommend that anybody, if you're recommending certain equipment, that you should basically eat your own dog food. If you're recommending to buy this dog food, you should eat that. You should basically consume the products and experience them if you're recommending them to a client. I have no choice. I needed an advanced switch. A, I am not the typical house. So a switch in my, I'll call it a data center, my office, it's very appropriate. This is more like a bigger company of computer equipment, and having that switch as the hub of the network makes sense for me. Also, it gave me the experience for recommending and supporting this switch in the business settings. A great example for PCI compliance: if I need to isolate point of sale systems from the rest of the traffic, I can create a VLAN for a couple of those ports, and they don't have to buy a secondary switch or another router. We can do this via virtual local area networks, VLANs. That is the secret sauce, the extra oomph, that the bang for your buck for this HP switch. And maybe I wasn't clear enough on some of the advanced networking features, and it's why I recommend this. Sorry that it's not working out for you, but it sounds like what you're looking for is a nice router that has gig ports. And you know what? There's lots of great ones out there. I love the MediaLink one. It's an inexpensive router that has gig ports, and it's a great switch, great router, great firewall, and it costs $50. It's MediaLink, and I'll have a link to that in the show notes. So that would be my perfect recommendation for your home router. Kevin asked me a question where he's been working with the Windows 8 consumer preview, and he now has a problem booting into the system, and he wants to be able to recover the data. And what's the best way to recover the data? No matter what you've done in the recovery console and trying to run checkdisk/R, checkdisk/F, there's two things you should do. One, take the disk out of the system. Connect it to a SATA to USB docking station or a SATA to USB cable. Take it to another working computer and see if you can access the data. If you can, great, great win. Get the data off. Run Crystal Disk Info and see if the disk is damaged. If it's not, reformat it and then put it back in and see if that works after you've gotten the data off. The best software recovery, and there's lots of free programs out there, but if you want the absolute best, it's called Zero Assumption Recovery. That software has not disappointed me, and I've been able to extract, and some of you know this because we did it live before a Tech Vet show one night. I recovered from a USB stick that was unreadable. I recovered 100% of the data, and it was because of Zero Assumption Recovery software. I think it's $69. It's the best $69 that I've ever spent. They're the first steps in recovering data. If you can't recover the data from at that point and it's important to you, then $300driverecovery.com. Send it to them, and for $300, they'll recover your data. You'll have to also pay for another disk unless you want to send them a good one to be able to put the data onto it. By the time you're done, you're probably going to be in the $500 for the recovery. But that's a lot better than some of the other places that charge significantly more. So I hope that helps, Kevin. This is from Vaughn, and this is a WSUS alternative. I enjoy listening to your shows as I commute to work. I have learned many things from the Mike Tech Show and Tech Vets. In Mike Tech Show 427, you were talking about using WSUS offline as an option for providing updates to Windows boxes in a small office network. A potentially more elegant and less labor-intensive solution would be to set up an IPCOP smoothwall firewall proxy server with the Update Accelerator add-on. Ooh, that's a mouthful. Update Accelerator will proxy updates as the first computer downloads the updates. It then uses the cached files to serve updates on subsequent requests. It not only caches Windows updates, but it can also cache updates for several antivirus products, Adobe, some Linux distros, and Apple products. It is a real-time bandwidth saver over limited bandwidth connection in the Philippines. He has the link here for Update Accelerator. I use WSUS offline whenever I do a fresh install of an OS, as the automatic reboot feature is a real time saver, especially on XP. Vaughn, thank you. Love hearing about alternatives to solutions that we currently have, and I will absolutely look into this and check this out. So it's Update Accelerator. So it's update-accelerator.advproxy.net. Link will be in the show notes. Final email. Hello, Mike. And this is from Philip. I have Windows 8 Virtual on a Windows 7 computer. The problem I'm having with the Photos app tile. I have 19 images in my pictures library, but the live tile only shows 5 images only. Checking to see if anybody is having the same problem or knows how to fix it. I like the Metro start screen with the live tiles, not missing the start button at all. Thanks, Mike. Great shows. Wow. Someone endorsing Metro and not missing that start button. I, on the other hand, miss the start button and I do not have Metro auto start. I'm wondering, I don't have an answer for this. If you have any recommendations for Philip, let me know. First, are they all the same type of file format? Now, I'm not sure. Does the Tile app maybe only rotate JPEGs or GIFs? Unlikely. You would think that they would be able to rotate all the formats. So I'm not sure. Is there any resolution limitation for the Tile? I would think that it would be able to resize it, regardless of how the original size is, to be able to size it for the Tile. PC's in the chat, and he says they're all JPEGs. Let's get some ideas and see if we can get a solution for Philip. I will share that in the next show, or I will email Philip and let him know what to try here for a solution. If you purchase anything from Amazon, if you know anybody purchasing anything from Amazon, or maybe you want some of the products that I talk about where I have my Amazon link in the show notes, please use my link, amazon.mikenation.net. MikeTechShow.com/Amazon. There, your price will remain the same, but a small percentage will come back to the Mike Tech Show and support the show. I really appreciate all of your support. Thank you so much for continuing to use my link. I really appreciate it. That's it for tonight. No music. I will be back next Tuesday night, November 20th. And that will be the live show. I'll try to get it posted up by Wednesday. And that's it. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.